Last week, Reverend Kim reflected on the power of the Spirit, so the power that emboldens us to be courageous in our life. Today, I want to reflect on the way of the Spirit, and I want to begin by referring to what Jesus described the Spirit in this way. And we are familiar with this verse. He said, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." Here, Jesus is saying wind. It's hard to tell, but in its original word, he's using a pneuma, which can mean three different things: wind, breath, and spirit. So he's using this for a reason, because the Spirit is like the wind. We hear the sound of it, and we can't even feel it, as the choir sang today. You feel it in your heart when it moves. But one thing we can't do is to control or predict its movement, because the Spirit is like the wind. It blows where it chooses. When we hear these words, we may not take this comfortably. It may not kind of provide us with a very comforting feeling, because we as human beings love to be in control. One thing that we want to be sure of is to be in control of our life. We like what is logical and predictable, and we like to live our lives on our own terms. Nobody tells me what to do. I live according to the way I want and how I want to do it. So what Jesus says about the wind or the Spirit seems to tell us otherwise. He seems to tell us the exact opposite of what we often want and pursue in life. Yes, the Spirit does not move the way we want or the way we like. But that doesn't mean that it moves randomly or arbitrarily either. Because notice how Jesus says, the wind blows where it chooses. That means it moves with its own purpose and intent. That's why he even said to Peter after the resurrection, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." It's completely different from what we often think. We may not know exactly what the Spirit is thinking all the time, but the Spirit moves always according to God's will. And Jesus revealed what that will is to the disciples. And that is our theme verse for this year, and it comes from Acts 1. "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What does this tell us about the Spirit? It does not remain insular. The Spirit never remains in one spot. The Spirit always moves outwards. From our immediate circle to the neighboring communities, and to the ends of the earth. The Spirit moves in such a way so that God's blessing and gift of new life can be experienced by all people and not just some. What Jesus is talking about here, it fulfills the promise which God made to Abraham, the forefather of our faith. In Genesis, you find this: "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All the families of the earth. That is the movement of the Spirit and what informs the movement of the Spirit. In order for the Spirit to continue doing its work in this world, God calls us to do one thing and one thing only. It is uncomplicated and very simple in theory, but it can be challenging and difficult when it comes to actually doing it. And that is to go where the Spirit leads. That is how the early church started. I'm sure many of you attended Paul the Witness at the Bible study have learned this. That is how the good news of the resurrection spread throughout this world. It wasn't necessarily the Acts of the Apostles. I'm sure Reverend Kim mentioned that. It was the acts of the Spirit and the people who went wherever the Spirit had led them. In the passage you read today, what we read is a story of Philip. Some of you may confuse this Philip with just being Philip as one of the apostles. But this Philip is Philip the Evangelist. And Philip the Evangelist was one of the seven people who were chosen to care for the poor in the early church community. If you look at Philip's life, one thing becomes very clear, which is that Philip lived his life going wherever the Spirit led him. He didn't think twice. He simply went. And you see that he trusted in the way of the Spirit. And in today's passage, you see this in two different places. First is how this passage begins. It begins, "The angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go toward the south.'" And how does Philip respond? "So he got up and went." And later in the story, it says, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over to this chariot and join it.'" And how does Philip respond? "So Philip ran up to it." There's no hesitation. There's no reluctance. He just goes where the Spirit leads him. And here, what we see also is that each time in Philip's life and in his journey, the Spirit directs Philip's steps. Just reading it, it can seem almost too simple and straightforward to be true. I don't know if I experienced that in my own life, the Spirit leading me like this. How come it happens in someone like him? But I believe that that is how the Spirit works. When the Spirit works, it is absolutely clear when it calls. Like the wind when it blows. When the wind blows, you don't stop and go, "Is that the wind that's blowing?" You see it. And you feel it. You see the branches moving. When the Spirit works, it is absolutely clear because it doesn't come knocking on our heads, but it comes knocking on our hearts. It always pulls us in a certain direction. The Spirit never gives us mixed signals. It is absolutely clear in terms of where it wants you to go. And it is so clear that I think that's why it frightens us at times. So rather than going where the Spirit leads, we turn away from it. It's like Jonah. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. But rather than just going there, he turns around and goes in the opposite direction to Tarshish. We let the voice of fear and doubt dominate our hearts. And what we are really good at doing is we come up with clever justifications on why we can't go. "Oh, I don't feel ready yet. I'm not prepared enough. Oh, I made these other plans and I can't do it." And sometimes I often hear this. "Why me? Other people can do it. They're way more skilled and talented than me. So why me? Other people can do it." We complicate what is so simple and straightforward. And then we say, "I'm so confused, I don't know what to do." When I first sensed my call to ministry, I was so anxious and afraid that I didn't address it for about 2 years. I didn't tell my parents, even to my closest friends. It's something that I kept very close to my heart, and I didn't say anything about it. But from early on in my life, I had this deep conviction that I was to live my life for others. I don't know where that came from, but I had this deep conviction that I was to do that. And that conviction was answered in the form of calling to ministry. That's why whenever we talk about calling, it's not always being called to ministry. It can be different in each and every one of your life. But for me, that desire was answered in the form of calling to ministry. But that calling came at the most unexpected and inconvenient time in my life. That's why it scared me so much. Because the thought of making such a drastic change, I didn't think I could do it. Then one day at my old church, we went on this congregational retreat in the summer. And I think it was the last day. We had a time of prayer, and then I was still struggling with my sense of call. And then I was praying, and I had this vision or this picture that just I saw while I was praying. I was alone on an island, like in this house on an island. It was like a beautiful island, and there was just this one house, and I was in it. And I was floating through this particular area in the house, and I just instinctively turned to my right. And what I saw through the window was this vast, beautiful ocean outside. And I remember I looked at it and I thought, wow, I wonder what it's like to be out on those waters. It's so beautiful, and I kind of want to go out there. But even though I wanted to go out and see for myself, I didn't go out. I couldn't because I was too scared. The experience kept on repeating itself, and I saw myself circling the same spot over and over again. And what I saw was very indicative of where I was in life and what I was going through at the time. The Spirit is not just some abstraction we talk about. The Spirit is always wanting to take us beyond our small world of familiarity and certainty. The Spirit wants to lead us into the world of the unknown where there is surprise, connection, and transformation. And that's what happened to Philip. What Philip did, as I mentioned before, he just went where the Spirit led him. But what do we see in today's passage? Because of that, he became connected with an Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading the words of Isaiah. He didn't understand it, and just felt compelled to go and just help him. And through his help, the eunuch's life was totally changed. And the eunuch at the end even asked Philip to baptize him. They stopped the chariot and said, "Hey, here's some water. Why don't you baptize me? What's stopping you from doing that?" This one simple tale tells us that when we go wherever the Spirit leads, we experience wonderful things. Things we never planned or expected. We see the Spirit working in concrete yet mysterious ways. So we see what the Spirit does, but we can't exactly figure out what it will do next or how it's doing it. But we just see the works of the Spirit in our own life. You see people coming together from all different walks of life. You see people's lives being changed in unexpected ways. And you see the Spirit opening new doors. The moment I decided to go into ministry, one thing that just immediately started happening was I began to see the Spirit opening doors one by one. It happened so quickly, it just felt so effortless at times. So I'm like, is this so strange what's happening in my life? How the Spirit first led me after I decided to go into ministry was the Spirit connected me to Simon at Knox College, which is the seminary. I had no idea he was coming, and we were starting at the same time. I only knew of him as this lawyer, and I just saw his advertisement in the Korean newspaper. Then my mom sometimes went, "Hey, why can't you be like this guy?" So I didn't like Simon at first. I saw him at the orientation, and we started together. I actually was thinking about starting a semester later, and had I started a semester later, I wouldn't be here today. We started together on that day, and through Simon, that's how I first heard about St. Tim's. You know Simon, when he's really excited about something, he goes and tells everybody about it. If you read a nice, watched a good movie, he will tell you the next day. With St. Tim's, every time we met, he would just talk about Timothée Gyue, have you ever been there? I was like, who is this guy just talking about this? I've never seen someone talk about their church this way. He's a really good witness. So through him, I got to know St. Tim's. And during my studies, at first I was just going to study and then go into ministry. But after a few months, I was just like, I need to work and just sort of find a place to work and do sort of both at the same time. I had no idea where to go. No one in my family ever went into ministry, so I didn't know how to find a job or anything like that. And lo and behold, 2 months later, Simon just asked, hey, you want to come and work? So I said, okay. And through him, I came to this community while I was looking for a place to serve. And it was through this community that I came to meet all of you, and especially my students in IC2. People that I never would have met otherwise had I not gone down this path. And that includes Reverend Kim, whose spiritual mentorship and guidance have shaped me into the person and the pastor I am today. It would have been very different had I gone down a different path. And 7 years have passed. I started here January of 2017. Time flew by. Now, after 7 years, I sense the Spirit leading me once again. Not someplace else, though. When I said I was being called, all my students and I said, where are you going? I said, I'm not going anywhere. Feel that the Spirit is calling me here. I feel called to remain where I am. And I feel called to continue serving this community, now in a slightly different capacity, as a minister of word and sacrament. On paper, this may not sound like a logical decision. When I was getting interviewed by the search committee, one of the person asked me, this was in a good way. You know, you could have gone anywhere, because there are vacancies, even in our denomination. You had a lot of options. Why did you choose here? Why do you feel compelled to remain here? On the one hand, I had a hard time answering that question because that itself was a mystery even to me at first. But on the other hand, I see how God has been working in this community. More specifically, I see a story that is unfolding here at St. Tim's. I see how God is calling us to go beyond and be his witnesses, as the verse says, not just in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. I see that as our calling to be faithful to our roots as a Korean immigrant church, and yet still grow to be a culturally diverse community of faith, a community of faith that is a model church, not just in our neighborhood, but in our denomination and in our presbytery, wherever we go. And I see this community stretching and growing and blossoming bit by bit. And I feel called to participate in this unfolding narrative at St. Tim's. I shared with Elder Veronica a couple of weeks ago. I believe that every community has a narrative. But in the flow of the narrative, where you choose to enter and exit is not in your control. I believe that. It's not an arbitrary decision. I feel like there's something much deeper and greater behind that. So I feel called to participate in this journey, in this unfolding narrative at St. Tim's, to continue journeying with you through this story. In that sense, my calling is not just personal. Because if it was, I could have been anywhere. I believe that my calling is deeply intertwined with the calling of this community. It is interesting to see, when you look at today's passage, how Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian ends. Luke describes it like this. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Don't worry, I won't vanish all of a sudden just without warning. I'm not saying that I am saying it for a different reason. When I look at this verse, what it tells me is, it reminds me that it is the Spirit who leads my life, not me. I have no answers in terms of what my future looks like. But seeing this tells me I don't need to worry. It is ultimately the Spirit that leads my steps. All I have to do is to simply go where the Spirit leads and be faithful. And I will be faithful until the end. So I pray that may we go where the Spirit leads us, no matter what, as a church. And I pray that we can commit to this journey together. The Spirit will provide us with what we need. The Spirit will give us wisdom and boldness. The Spirit will guide our every step. And through us, I believe that the Spirit will work wonders here in this community.